We begin the current daf in Masechet Yevamos, daf Tezvav. We begin 11 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, there was a machlekes that was introduced on daf Yud Gimel, that Rish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yochanan from a Mishnah Masechet Megillah, which said that there are those that read the Megillah on the 11th of Adar, some 12, 13, 14, 15, everyone's doing their own thing. Rish Lakish asked, that seems to be a violation of Leitas Kaidadu. Well, you have Agudas Agudas, many Jews doing different things on different days, and one cannot do it on the other ones, so it looks like two different Torahs. So Rabbi Yochanan responded, what do you mean from our Mishnah? We see the same idea. We see that, according to Beis Shammai, a Tzaras Erev is permitted for Yidden to be done with her, whereas according to Beis Hillel, it's forbidden. On that, there was a Machlekes that was introduced, which the previous Daf was discussing, which Rish Lakish responded to Rabbi Yochanan saying, wait, Beis Shammai had a different opinion, but they didn't follow their own opinion. Lo also Beis Shammai. Shammai didn't do their own thing. They followed and they subjugated themselves to Beis Hillel's opinion. And there's no problem about like this guy do. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel held that no, that Beis Shammai also kedvar. And therefore, you see that we weren't concerned about the fact that it should seem like like this guy do two tyrus, as the Gemara explained in the previous staff, what would fit into the criteria of like this guy do. However, that is a shaila that the Gemara has been discussing, trying to prove either way, was it that Beis Shammai was asu? Did they actually do their own opinion? Regarding halachas, let's say, of our Mishnah of Tzaras Erva, did Beis Shammai permit the Tzaras of the Erva to have Yidden done, or were they loy asu? Did they just follow Beis Hillel's opinion? Although in the discussion of halacha they argued, but in practice of halacha, they followed the opinion of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara continued trying to bring a right. Tashma within the Braisa, the Amr Reb Tarfon, Reb Tarfon said, now Reb Tarfon was from the biggest of the Tamidim of Beis Shammai. So he said to Ivani, says, I so much desire, Masai Tavei Tzara Sabas, when will it be that the Tzara of the daughter, meaning to say, Tzara's Erva, in other words, he was waiting when his brother had married his daughter. So he says, I can't wait for when his brother dies without any children, and then the tzara of the daughter will come liyadi to my hand, Vasiana, and then I'll marry her. Which means to say he's going to do yibum to the tzara of his daughter, which is the tzara's erva, and that means to say that he's going to marry her, which is like Beis Shammai, that holds that you do yibum to the tzara's erva. So it seems clearly from here that Beis Shammai and their students were also did follow Beis Shammai's opinion. I think Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Ema, you should read the word, not I can't wait till my brother dies without any children, and although he's married to my daughter, but the co-wife I'm going to marry, it's not ve'esoena, ema rather ve'asiena, and that I will marry her off, meaning to somebody else, that's just a foreign person, like the Pinyan Beis Hillel. And that the Gemara asks, but v'hote vani kama, but what do you mean? He said that I so much desire, as if he wants to say a chiddush over here, something novel over here, and I can't wait to illustrate this in practice, but if he's doing like Beis Hillel, what would be the chiddush if you're saying that layos, so they didn't follow their opinion, their own opinion of Beis Shammai, rather everyone does like Beis Hillel, so why is he so desiring to have the Tzaras Erva go off and marry someone else? That's what everybody does. So why can he not wait to illustrate that halacha? I think Gemara says, that's not a question. Lafukim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what he was saying is that, yes, it was like Beis Hillel, because layos, Beis Shammai and their students did not follow that opinion of doing Yibum to the Tzaras Erva. What he was waiting for when his brother dies, and then the Tzaras Erva is going to marry her off to someone else, meaning without doing Chalitza first. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri proposed, as we had quoted on the top of this Amud, that let's find a compromise between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say, do Yibum, Beis Hillel says, no way. So what you do is you do Chalitza, and that then resolves it according to everybody that she's not a Yevama L'shuk, and however you're not doing Yibum, so you're not consummating a forbidden relationship of Eish HaZach. That is what Reb Tarfon said. I can't wait to show that that's not the halacha. You don't have to do chalitza. Rather, everyone, even us, the students of Beis Shammai, follow Beis Hillel, and I'm going to marry her off without having chalitza done to her first. So it's not a raya. So Gemara says, continues, Toshma, come in here, that Maisa Bebita Shem Gamliel. There was an incident with the daughter of Reb Gamliel. So he said, Nesua la'aba achim, that Reb Gamliel's own daughter was married to his brother Abba. Umeis blei banim, now his brother Abba died without any children. The Yibim Reb Gamliel is Tzarasa, and Reb Gamliel did Yibim to the Tzara of his daughter, who was married to his brother, died without any children, which is a Tzara's Erva, and yet he did Yibim. Obviously, Beis Shammai is Asu, that they do follow that opinion halacha. But the Gemara quickly responds, Betizbra, can you entertain such a thought? Reb Gamliel Mutamid Beis Shammai, who do you think Reb Gamliel was from the students of Shammai that he would be following that opinion, and therefore we see that Asu? Reb Gamliel was from the grandchildren of Hillel. So that can't be that he actually did Yibam to the Tzaras of Ever, because even if the camp of Bishami did that, he's from the camp of Bezil. El, rather, that what you have to explain is that how could he have then done Yibam to the Tzaras Erva of his own daughter? Is Shani Bita Shem Gamliel, that case was different, because the daughter of Gamliel was the islandess Havya. She was an islandess. Now, an islandess is a woman that doesn't have the female characteristics, and we learned in our Mishnah, Oishin Nimtzu islandess, or if the Erva, where in this case was his daughter, who was married to his brother, was found out to be an islandess, then Tzaras same with Taurus, then the Tzaras is permitted, and therefore, that's why he was able to do Yibam to the Tzaras Erva. Not because she's not actually a Tzaras Erva, because we disqualify the Erva from the marriage in the concept of Yibam if she's an islandess. But that the Gemara asks, how can you say that's the understanding of that Braisa by the story of Rabbi Gamliel was because his daughter was an islandess and that's why he was allowed to do Yibam to the Tzara of his daughter? But Hamliktani say, if you look at the end of that Braisa, it brings another opinion. It says, Acher Mayrim, others say that no, of course, Rabbi Gamliel was not going to do a yim to the Tzara of the Erva, but rather because Bita Rabbi Gamliel alnes haisa, it's just because that his daughter was an alnes. Now, Mechlal, the inference is, that's the Acherim's opinion, the Tana Kama Sava, that obviously the first opinion was holding, that Lav alnes haisa, that the reason why it was permitted was not because an alnes, and therefore it sounds like that it was because of Beishami's opinion of Tzara's Erva. Now, although you have a good question, what's Rabbi Gamliel, a grandchild of Hill, doing like Beishami, but what else is the explanation of that? And I think Gemara brings three interpretations to explain what was the two different opinions between the Tanakama and the Acherim, that they both permit that the logic of why Gamliel was allowed to marry the Tzara of his daughter when she's a Tzara's Erva, and you can't even say that Beishami was, they were doing like Beishami, because he's not even from the camp of Beishami. So the first interpretation the Gemara brings is that Hikerba v'lo Hikerba ikibenayo. The Machlekes between Tanakama and the Acherim are both of them are basing it on the fact that, yes, his daughter was an alnes, and then there's no problem of marrying the tsar. However, according to Tanakama, it's only if going into the marriage, which was in this case Abba, his brother, did not recognize that she was an alnes. He only found out afterwards. Then is when you say the halacha was called mekach tois. It's a mistaken acquisition. Hence, it's really retroactively defined that he was never married to her. It was a faulty acquisition. Now, in such a case, is what's happened by Abba, that he found out only afterwards, and is like, okay, so this is not a marriage. So that means to say that his brother was never married to his daughter, and that's why the tzara is permitted, because she's not a tzara of the erva, because she was never even the co-wife. But if Abba would have known going into the marriage that she's an elness, then the tzara would be also. And that's like the opinion of Rav Asi that's mentioned in the Afiyud Beis HaMenalef. Whereas the Acherim held, like Rava, that even going into the marriage, he knows she's an islandess, and therefore it is a marriage. Even so, and that's actually the words of the Acherim over here, where they said that Bicham Lil Haisa, she was an islandess, which means to say that not that she was found out later to be an islandess, and that's because they hold like the opinion of Rava that says that even if it's a full-fledged marriage, it's not based on the logic of Mekach Tois, it's just that an islandess, it never falls for Yibam. You have to be Asher Teili, you have to be able to give birth. If you can't, then you don't enter the parasha of Yibam. And hence, the co-wife, who is in the parasha of Yibam, is not a tzara of an erva. It's what's called tzara's erva shaloi b'maka mitzvah. That does not create the element of litzra of aleha to say that the erva will exempt the co-wife. And that's the machlokes. It's just they're both basing on the fact that his daughter was an illness. The question is, did they know beforehand? Tanakama says that he didn't know beforehand, and only that's why he was allowed to marry the tsar of his daughter. Whereas Acherim hold on, no, he even knew beforehand, and it was a full-fledged marriage. But a tsar of an islandess will never be a problem, a tsaris ever, because an islandess does not enter the equation of Yibam. That's one interpretation. Second interpretation, Bibaisim, if you want, you could say that actually Rabbi Gamliel was not basing it on the concept of islandess, according to the Tanakhama. That is, what they were arguing about was Kanas ulabasev girish ekibinayo. What that means is if the brother, in this case Abba, married first the co-wife, meaning the one unrelated to Gamliel, and at the end, ulabasev, then he was girash, only after he first married the co-wife, then he divorced the erva, which in this case was the daughter of Gamliel. That's ekibinayo, that's the difference between the Tanakhama and the Chayim. That is, the Tanakhama holds that due to the fact that he divorced, that his brother, Abba, divorced his daughter before he died. Now, although he married that other woman beforehand, and that what that means is that at some time they were co-wives, in spite of that, Gamliel will be permitted to the tzara of his daughter. And the reason is that since he divorced the erva at the end, before he died, Abba died, so therefore, at the time of Misa, it's what's called Misa Mapelas. At the time of Misa, this co-wife was not a co-wife to his daughter because his daughter was already divorced. And that's why we say that, okay, so she's not considered Taras Erva. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Whereas the Acherim held that what's called Nisuin Mapil. Since he first married this other woman, before he divorced the Erva, that is Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, so that already makes them, in that marriage, already co-wives. She's already going to be forbidden based on the concept of Tzaras Erva, even though before Abba, his brother, died, he had already divorced his daughter. Doesn't make a difference because it's the marriage that creates the concept of Tzaras Erva. However, that's what the Chaim was saying, but the daughter of Gamliel was an islandess, and that's why the Tzar was permitted. Because based on the concept of when is she Mapel, that would be a problem according to Acherim, and that is the difference between the two different opinions. That is, the Tanakhama was not basing it on islandness, not as we had assumed when the Gemara first gave the answer. It was just based on the fact that because she was already divorced before his brother had died, whereas the Acherim, that still would create a Tzaras Erva, and that's why they had to say the reason of islandness. Ibai Semo, if you want, you could say a third approach. That yesh t'nai bebiya ikabinayu. The difference between them is regarding making conditions regarding intimate relations. And that is, if someone marries a woman based on the condition that she won't have any blemishes or any oaths she has taken, and you know what? After the marriage, what comes out? She has a blemish or she has an oath that she took. So according to Tanakhama, he held that conditions work. Hence, once he found that the daughter of Gamliel had these oaths or these blemishes, so that's mekach tais, there was no marriage. And that's why, since there was a t'nai for that the brother Gamliel made regarding the daughter Gamliel, and that was not fulfilled, that condition, again, whether it was a blemish or whether it was an oath, therefore she was never his wife, and that's why the tzar is permitted according to Tanakhama. Nothing to do with idleness. But the others, the Achirim, held that no, a t'nai, a condition, does not help when there's an element of bia, when they were intimate together. And the reason is, according to that opinion, that once man and woman are intimate, so then he already forgives and all the things that all the hang-ups he had going into the marriage. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis in Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, because a person's not going to make his intimate relations into bilaiznus, as if they're just immoral relations. And therefore, based on that premise, it won't help that they had a condition. He says, oh, I want to make sure that you don't have any blemishes and any of this and that. And he finds out that she has it. Doesn't make a difference. Once you're intimate, which Abba was with the daughter of Gamliel, those were all out the window. So therefore, based on that, she would still be his wife, and hence the tzar would still be a tzar as ever. That's why the Chaim had to say, but Lamaisa, she was an islandess. If she's an islandess, as we said in our Mishnah, Daf Beis, the tzar of an islandess, even though that islandess is an erva, will be able to have yibum done to her. And that's why the tzaras erva was permitted. So those are three approaches, but ultimately there's no raya from here to say that we see that a tzaras erva is permitted according to some because they're following the opinion of Beis Shammai, because that can't be, because Gamliel is not from the camp of Beis Shammai, he's a grandchild of Hill. Rather, the reason why they're permitted was either because, like the Achim, because she's an alnis, or according to the Tanakhama, it's one of three approaches. Either also it's alnis, but again, depending if they knew going into the marriage or not, or it's because of that at the time of the brother's death, the erva, the daughter, was already Magurish, was already divorced, and therefore that's not a tzaras erva. Or because there were some conditions regarding the marriage, even though there was already bia, even though there was already intimacy, Tanakhama still held, if you don't fulfill that, it's a mekach tois, and therefore she was never married to his brother Abba, and that's why the tzara was permitted and it wasn't a tzaras erva. Now, however, the Gemara asks Moser Rav Mishasha. The Gemara asks, according to the opinion that held that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, the Gemara asks from the following brisa. Maisa Rebbe Kiva, there was instant Rebbe Kiva, Shalikud Esrig Be'echad B'Shvat, that he went picking an Esrig on the first of Shvat. Now, this was the second year of the Shemitah cycle, going into the third year. Now, regarding, there's different times of what's the new year regarding different things. Now, regarding a tree, it's in the month of Shvat. However, there is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what is it? What's the exact date of the first Tishrei, as the Mishnah says in the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah? Now, Rabbi Akiva was v'noheg boi beis yisurin. Now, regarding this fruit that he picked now, which is based on that's when you have to give the meiser, he actually gave off two different tithes from it. Echek ediv Rabbi Shammai, one like the opinion of Rabbi Shammai, which is, that would make it, according to Rabbi Shammai, meiser oni, because Rabbi Shammai say the first Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah of the trees. Hence, since it's already the first Tishrei that Rabbi Akiva was picking this, would make this the third year you have to give meiser oni. But he also did ve'echek ediv Beis Hillel. He went and he gave Meister Sheni, a different type, like Beis Hillel, who they say that the new year for the tree is not the first of Shvat, it's Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. And since it's still the second year, because it's just the first of Shvat, therefore it's considered the second year, and the second year you have to give Meister Sheni. Now that's what the Brisa says. So the Gemara says, Shmam in the Asu. How can those say that Beis Shammai did not follow his own opinion? You see clearly that they did, because if no one follows Beis Shammai, so why is Rabbi Akiva, okay, not sure which one to do, like Beis Shammai still, but no one follows like Beis Shammai. So why would he take off two Isurin? Obviously, because that is a valid opinion in Halacha that people would practice. Nothing else says no. Rabbi Akiva Gemari is topical. It could be that Loi Asu, that no one followed Beis Shammai's opinion. But Rabbi Akiva was doubtful about his tradition in the Messiah, because V'lo Yada Ibeis Hillel Be'echad B'Shvat Amar. Yes, we want to know like Beis Hillel, but he didn't know what Beis Hillel's opinion. Was it Beis Hillel that said it's the first of Shvat? Or was it Beis Hillel that said the 15th of Shvat, and that's why he took off two, because he wasn't sure, was it now the third year according to Beis Hillel, because they said that the first of Shvat is the new year? Or is it only the second year, because Beis Hillel says it's only on the 15th of Shvat, but not because he wanted to fulfill the opinion of Beis Shammai? But the Gemara continues asking, Masa Mar Sutri, ask my Mishnah Masech the Sukkah. Says that Maisa v'yoldika losei shal Shammai Azakin. There was a story that the daughter-in-law of Shammai the elder gave birth, and she had a little baby. Upiches es amaziv. Now what Shammai the elder did is that he took away the plaster over the ceiling that was on top of the newborn kimpaturin, the kimpaturin and the newborn baby. The sikach agabe mita b'shvil katan. What he did was that he made schach over the area where the mother and the baby was, to make a sukkah on top of them. And that's because Shammai's opinion is that what's called a katna tzarech l'imay, even a small baby that even needs the mother, is still obligated in sukkah. They still hold that, no, you're only obligated in sukkah as a child. Women are not mechuyav, so he wouldn't have done it for the mother. It's the male son that Bishamai hold that still, even if you need your mother, you're still obligated in sukkah. So Shammai no asu. Obviously, we see that Shammai and his camp would follow their own opinion, because here he is making a whole sukkah for just the baby boy. Nothing more answers. No, there is not a raya from there. And that is, as we had introduced this discussion, the reason why Shammai would not have followed their own opinion, if they know that's their psak, is only because based on the reason of loy tiskaydu. We don't want to have two different factions, two different tiris in the Jewish people. It's going to seem like that there's no truth. It's all relative. He says like that, he says like that. And therefore, loy tiskaydu says that don't go ahead and make different camps. But Hasm, over there, there's no problem about loy tiskaydu. Because Haraya Omer, the one who sees, is going to say, not that, oh, Bishamai, that's their tire. Oh, Beisol, that's their tire. But rather, Lafushi Avrakavit, people are just going to say that they wanted some ventilation, some fresh air. And you put some bamboo, some leaves to block out the flies. But it's not so obvious and blatant that there's two different tires. And that's why Bishamai is allowed to do it. But generally, they were loyasu, because not to make it seem like two different tires. So again, it's not a rise. So the Gemara continues asking. But Masa Marzuja. Marzuja asks, Maise b'shoikis Yehu. There was an incident with the trough of Yehu. Now, a shoikis, a trough, is a stone that has a cavity inside of it, which is underneath a funnel, underneath a pipe, that spouts, that has water flowing in it from the mountain. Now, this specific one was called Sheikis, the trough of Yehu, which again has all this water coming from the mountain flowing into it. Which Shahisib Yerushalayim, which this was in Jerusalem, but it's in the Kuvah LeMikvah. Now, it was perforated, there was a hole from this trough that was connected to a mikvah. Now, the Chol Tahirah Shahayub Yerushalayim, Nasim Al-Gabah, now all purities that was done to purify things in Yerushalayim were done over there. They would immerse it there in that Sheikis. Now, although there wasn't 40 saw, which is necessary for a mikveh in that trough. However, there was a complete mikveh that had water on the side of it, and as we said, it was connected from the spring of the shaykes through that hole, which is what's called kishveferes hanoid, which is a head the size of the a pipe of a tube that's from a flask, which, as the Gemara will shortly explain, what that measurement is. So it had the shear, and that's called hashaka. It was connected, and therefore it's enough to be considered this trough itself as if it's part of the mikvah, and therefore they would make all the tefillas in that shaykes yehu. Now, however, v'sholchu beishamai v'chibuha. Beishamai sent, and they expanded the hole that connected the shaykes, the trough, to the mikvah. And they made it until most of the wall that was the barrier between the shaykes and the mikvah was totally open to really mix it well, the mikvah with the shaykes. Now, the reason is because Beishamai say, atshetifochis beruba. It's not enough to have a shaka, to have this connectivity with just a small little hole, a small little pipe. You have to have that most of the wall between them is broken open. Now, that's Beishamai's opinion, and that's why they broke it open. However, with Tanan, we learned the Mishnah Maseches Mikvayis that, from Beis Hillel's opinion, obviously held not like that. Because the Mishnah says, Eruv Mikvayis, to be able to mix mikvahs, and that's if, let's say you have a deficient mikvah side by side with a full mikvah, 40 sa. Now, the waters are mixing through a crack between them. Now, there's a measurement for that hole to be able to fully consider the two mikvahs connected and to even say that the deficient one is kosher. That is kishveferes. That's like a tube that you put in the opening of hanoid, of a flask, which you need to have the shear of that tube to have the space of this hole between the mikvahs, which, what is this tube? It's po'evieha u'b'chalol. You have to have the thickness and the cavity of that shveiferes, of that tube, which, what is that measurement? That's kishtiyetz bo'yiz choyzl mekoyman. It's like the measurement of two fingers that can be rotated, that could go around and around in that cavity of the tube with ease. Now, that's obviously Beis Hillel's opinion that holds you only need the size of that tube. But according to Beis Shammai, they hold, like we just said before, until not just the size of a tube, you need most of that barrier broken open to really be connected, those two elements. So Shema Mina Asu, so from that story that we see, so Beis Shammai broke it open, even though Beis Hillel holds that it's kosher, obviously Beis Shammai filed their own opinion. So that seems to resolve the question about if they were Asu or Shalai Asu. I think it says, no, it's not a right from there. Maybe you would say generally they will lie also, because we don't want it to seem like two different terrors. But Hasim, over there, you don't have the problem like the sky does. We continue on to Ahmed Bey's, because Haroya Omer, the one who sees, is just going to say, Lafushimai Hudakavid, he just wants to be able to have a surplus of water supply in that shaykes, and therefore it doesn't seem like two different terrors. But where it would seem like two different agudas, then you could say that lie also Beishamai Kedivrim, that Beishamai did not follow their own opinion, and therefore it's not a riot. Someone says, Tashma, come in here, different Ryan. The Amr Blazber Tzaddik. He said, Kishayisi loimid Torah itzab Yechon HaCharani. The Brisa says that Blazber Tzaddik was quoted as saying that when I learned Torah by Yechon HaCharani, Reisi shohaya eichel pas chareva b'melach b'shnei b'tzaris. I saw that he was eating dried bread with salt in a hunger year, in a famine. Now, Sabasi by Dati Azab, I came and told my father this dire situation of Yechon HaCharani. So Amalei, he said to me, look, hoylech leizaysim, go bring him olives. Vaylachtel, and I brought it to him. Now, ra eisen shein lachen, Rabbi Yechon HaCharani saw that the olives were moist. Now, the halachic ramifications of olives being moist is that then they're susceptible to contract tumah, because a solid can only contract if it becomes moist. So he saw that it's moist. Now, moreover, an earthenware vessel could become tumah by just being on top of an Amah Aretz. Now, the problem that Rabbi Yochanan HaCharani was concerned about is that since the olives that are in this earthenware vessel could contract tumah because it's moist, maybe an Amah Aretz, who maybe works for that worked for his father of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, maybe touched the outside of the barrel. Now, that would the Amah Aretz would then rabbinically make that earthenware tumah, and then that would be metameh the olives. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan HaCharani told me, look, in on the oichel zaysim, I don't need olives. In other words, he didn't want to get involved with this. He's concerned that, oh, they're moist. Could be an Amah Aretz touched the outside of the earthenware vessel, making that tummy, and that earthenware vessel will then make the tummy of the olives. Nothing to do with that. So he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik said, Basi v'dati esaba, I came and I notified my father. So Amalei said to me, look, leich v'amalei, go tell him, chavis nekuva haysa, this barrel, the earthenware barrel, that you're concerned that maybe an Amoritz touched it, and moreover, then the Alis could contract Tumah because they were moist, it was perforated, that barrel. Meaning on the bottom, there were holes that the liquid that flows from the olives that are pressed tightly together, there's some type of fluid that drips out, that it was going to drip out through the bottom. Now, what does that mean in halacha? Since if you're having a barrel with holes in the bottom, you're revealing in your intention that you do not desire that liquid that's dripping out, that would make it that the olives are not susceptible to tumah, even though they became moist. Because the halacha is of ki yutan, it has to be that even if you didn't put it on the liquid, it came by itself, but it has to be something that you desired. That's where the Gemara dashes elsewhere with kiyutan, kiyutan. Now, here he was saying that, look, tell him, I'll tell you why it's moist, but I just want you to know that there were holes inside on the bottom of the barrel, and therefore, even if Amoritz touched the barrel, the olives inside would not become susceptible to tumah, because there was no desire for that liquid, and I'll prove it to you because there were holes in the bottom. Now, but then you're going to ask me, if there were holes in the bottom, so how are they so wet? It's el shestemuhu shemarim. It's that the sediments settled on the bottom, and they blocked, they clogged up the holes in the bottom of the barrel, and that's why the liquid didn't go out, and that's why they're moist. Utnan, and we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos, that chavishal zeisim mugulgalim, that barrels of olives that are tightly pressed together in the barrel. So Bishamay Oimrim ain't tzrich l'nakim. Actually, Bishamay, who is more lenient in these halachas and tumah, hold that you do not need to make any holes in the bottom. And that's because Bishamay holds that the liquid that oozes out of the olives are what's called meperis. They're just fruit juice, and they're not machshir. They do not create, because it has to be one of seven liquids. Meperis is not one of them. Oil is, but this is not considered oil. And therefore, it's not going to make us the olives inside susceptible to tumah. Well, Basilim, however, Basil say, and I understand that what your concern is, as the Brisa will conclude, because they hold Tzrich L'Nakib, you do have to make a hole on the bottom. And that's because the liquid that oozes out of the olives has the same halacha criteria as oil, which comes out of olives. Now, and that's why they made holes on the bottom of his barrel, so that the liquid should go out. So therefore, he revealed, Reb Elazar ben Tzadik's father, that he doesn't want the liquid over there. And I understand it's just moist. That's because the sediments blocked it, wasn't able to go out. Now, moreover, Umaydim Basil agrees, however, Shem Nikfa, Vistamu Shamarm Shitar. However, if you made holes, but it got clogged up through the pieces on the bottom, that then it's going to be tar. So therefore, don't worry. According to Bishamay, for sure there's no problem. But even according to Beis Hill, it would be a problem based on that moihel, the liquid that oozes out. I'm telling you that even Beis Hill agrees in such a case, when you make a hole, it's just when it just can't go out because it got clogged up. Now, the Brisa concludes, Deva'ava Bishat Tamid Shammai Hoyu. Now, what's going on over here? Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni was a student of Shammai. So why was he so concerned in the first place? And even more that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik's father had to tell him, oh, don't worry, there was holes in the bottom. Really, I didn't want the liquid. It just got stuffed up. And even Basil agrees in such a case that it would be tahar. But his student is Shammai, and Shammai holds it's not a problem anyway. Now the Brisa says, "Kol ma'aseh lo yaseh al-kedivrei Rabbi Basil." This is what Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik was saying, testimony, that but whatever he did, he only did based on the opinion of Basil. And that's why my father had to tell him and says, don't worry, even according to Basil, you can eat the olives. There's no problem about tumah. Because there were holes, and therefore the owner didn't desire the liquid that was on that solid of the olives, and it's just got clogged up, and that's why it's wet, and therefore, even according to Beis Hillel, it would not contract tumah. That's the Braisa. That the Gemara concludes the Raya. Iyamid Bishlema also, if you say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, well then, Haina Revuse, that would be, at the end of the testimony of Reb Elazar ben Tzadik, it would be the Chiddush, the novelty, and that he was saying, even though he's a student of Shammai, but in spite of that, everything he did was like Beis Hillel. Well, the Chiddush would be, because even though the students of Beis Shammai do follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, he did something unique, and he still followed the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Eliyamrit lo yasa, but if he said that no one follows the opinion of Beis Shammai, even the camp of Beis Shammai, Samai Revuse, what would then be the novelty in saying that he, in spite of that, followed Beis Hillel, if everyone follows Beis Hillel? Rather, the Raya is that obviously the camp of Beis Shammai did follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, and that was the novelty that he did, that he was machmer like the opinion of Beis Hillel. A raya that Beis Shammai was also. Tashem Merkon tries to bring another raya from a Tesefta. Shalas Rabbi Yeshua. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras Habas Mahu. This is the question that we had brought in the previous Mishnah. Tzaras Erva, meaning the Tzara of a daughter. What's that locha? Can you go ahead and do Yibum if, let's say, a person's brother married his daughter and dies without any children, the co-wife, can you go ahead and do Yibum to her or not? So Amalehem, he said to the people that asked him this question, it's Machlekes Bishayim and Basil, it's Machlekes. So then they asked him, okay, but Halacha Devimihi, who is the Halacha follow like? So Amalehem, he said to them, why are you putting my head between the two big mountains? Between this huge machlekes, between these two big gedolim, misyari ani says, I'm afraid to get involved in this big question. Maybe they're going to crush my skull. In other words, if he says the wrong thing, that people are going to be upset at him. But I could say testimony. One thing I will tell you is that there's two great chashava families in Yerushalayim, which are Mishpachas Beis Sevayim, which was Miben Achmai, and there's a Mishpachas Beis Kofai, that's Miben Mekoshish, Shehem B'nei Tzaris, that they are from children that the Yavam had married a Tzara of an Erva, and yet in spite of that, instead of doing Chalitza like Beishame would require, or even doing Yibam, they went and they married to a foreign person like Basil without a Chalitza, and from their family, there's a Kahanim Gedolim, Vishim Shalgabe Mizbeach, and they went and they did Avodah on the Mizbeach. And therefore, that's clear that if one falls like Beis Hillel, there's no problem about Kahuna. Now, as Rashi says, the Gemara later will explain that what's going on over here. They asked him, what's the halacha regarding doing Yibum to Tzaras Erva? And he doesn't answer them that question. He says, I'm afraid to get involved in that. What he does answer to them is, what's the halachic status of the children of Tzaras? And that is, even though that according to Beis Shammai, it's pasha that they're going to be kosher, because at most it's going to be the children of Chiyuv Alavin. That is, if one does like Beis Hillel holds, by a Tzaras Erva, we totally exempt, and there's no Yibum Chalitza whatsoever. Although Beis Shammai holds that, no, you have to Yibum or Chalitza. But that's what he had responded to them, saying that, don't worry, you could be a Kohen Gadol, even a high priest, even if you follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, even though there's a negative prohibition for a woman to just go ahead and marry someone else, according to Beis Shammai, without doing first Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara will explain this brisa. But one thing the Gemara wants to say regarding the question we're discussing, if Beis Shammai asu or loy asu, iyamit b'shleimo asu, if you say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, well, hainu to come and misyarini, then we would understand where Yerushua said, I'm afraid to paskin. Because if he would say the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then he would be equating the children of Beis Shammai, who were asu, who did yibim to the Tzaras Erva, he would make their children mamzerim. Because if you pass like Beis Hillel, he holds they're considered a full-fledged Eishes Ach, that's a full-fledged Erva. And therefore, they would curse him, they would kill him, they would come after him, they would crush his skull. So he's afraid to get involved, because if you pass like Beis Hillel, he's calling them mamzerim. Eliyamet le'yasta, but if you say that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, rather everyone did like Beis Hillel, so I might come and miss Yarni. So the wise thing, I'm afraid to paskin. It doesn't make a difference what you're paskining. Anyway, no one follows like Beis Shammai's opinion anyway. So therefore must be that asu, Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion. But the Gemara responds back and asks on that interpretation. Well, so even if you're going to say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, but still my miss Yarni, why would Rabbi Yeshua be afraid of paskining against Beis Shammai, even if they do their own opinion, but they would not become Mamzer? Because Ha'om Rabbi Yeshua himself says, later on, Daf Mem Tesamen Aleph and Perek HaChelitz, he says, a Mamzer, the halacha of an illegitimate child, which has huge ramifications, that would be something that they would possibly want to break his skull, but that's Ela Mechiv Mises Bezdin, that's only from unions, that if one has that, there is a death at the hands of the courts. And that is, even if he resolved that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, he still wouldn't be making the children of the union that Beis Shammai's opinion held, that the brothers would do Yibum to Tzaras Erva, which according to Beis Hillel, that's an Eishes Ach Shalei B'Makom Mitzvah, which is something that's Chayiv Karis, doesn't make a difference. Even if they violated a punishment of Karis, they will still not make, according to Yeshua, those children Mamzerim, because that would only be from those that Achiv Mises Bezdin. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. He wasn't concerned that they're gonna break his skull because he's calling them Mamzerim. They're not Mamzerim, but Nehi Nami De Mamzul Lehava, although they're not going to be Mamzerim, but pogum miyahava, but they will be deficient in regards to the halach of kahuna. And that they're going to be upset about, and that they're going to break his skull. Now, what would make them problematic for kahuna? It's mikavochemim almana. We can learn it out from a kavochemer, from almana, from a widow. because ma'amana, just like by a widow that is not allowed to marry Kohen Gadol, she'en yisur noig b'chol, her prohibition does not apply to everybody. It's just to a Kohen Gadol that a widow cannot marry. And yet b'na pogum, still her child is considered deficient regarding the halachas of kohuna, because it says lo yichal zare, that it tells the Kohen Gadol, do not marry a widow, because if you do, then your children will be considered mechulal, will be profaned, which is a problem regarding kohuna. So zu shisur shav b'chol v'chulu. So this case, where the prohibition applies across the board, where there's an iser of eishes ach, of a erva, it applies to Yisrael just like Kahanim, where the Gemara will later on explain the reason why it says chulu over here, etc., is because it's actually a quote of a similar discussion the Gemara will bring shortly regarding machzik rishase, which we want to make the same kal v'chaymer. So there, most definitely, the child will be pogum, and therefore it will not be valid for kahuna. And that's why he said that they're going to break my skull, and that's why he didn't want to paskin like Beis Hillel, because the Kamei B'Shem is going to be upset at him. And therefore, it's not a question, and therefore, we could say that it is a raya from here that Asur Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion. And although, even if he paskins not like them, why would they be upset at him? They're not going to be mamzerim, but they will be a problem regarding kahuna, as we find Kavachem from Amana, where it's just for a certain sector of the people, meaning high priests, that she's a problem, and still her children become Chalalim. So all the more so here when it's a Isser that's across the board, although the child will not become a mamzer, it will be a problem of a chalal regarding kahuna, and that they'll be upset about. So fine, that ends that discussion regarding the raya of it being that asur, the Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion. But the Gemara asks, now regarding the content of the braisa, that as we had alluded to this question before, kabayu minei tzara is, what they ask him, what's the halacha regarding the co-wives? Can you do yibum? Or do you not have to do yibum chalitza? And she could just marry a foreign person without even having chalitza first. So they asked him regarding tzaras, but kapasha, and the gear says lahu, and what he responded to them, b'nei tzaras. He didn't tell them what the halacha, that I'm not getting involved. But what he did answer was a question they didn't ask. They asked him one question, and he answered them a different question, was what's the halachic status of the children of the union of the tzara of an erva? So I think our answer is actually tartik abayimineh. They asked him two questions. First they asked him tzaras, what's the halacha regarding the co-wife? Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Now, then they asked him a second question. And if you're going to say that the halacha regarding the tzaras erva is like Beis Hillel, that they say, no yibum, no chalitza, you're a tzara of an erva, go ahead, you can marry someone else, carte blanche. Then their question was, so then, b'nei tzaras to Beis Hillel. So the children of such a union, which is the halacha of a tzaras erva according to Beis Hillel, that is considered according to Beis Shammai, achiv alav, because Beis Shammai holds it. No, Tzaras Erva is obligated in Yibum as a regular woman, a regular Yavama. And therefore, you have to do Yibum Chalitza. If you're, according to Beis Shammai, if you follow Beis Hillel and you just marry someone else off the street, you're actually violating a negative prohibition of that Lo Yisi Eishes HaMesachutza Lezar, that you can't marry someone else before Yibum Chalitza. So then, Le Beis Shammai Mahu. According to Beis Shammai, if you follow Beis Hillel regarding the Tzaras Erva, what would the children of such a union be? Would they be pogum regarding kahuna according to Beis Shammai or not? That was their second question. And that's what he was responding them. The first question he wasn't answering, but the second question regarding the children, he was answering them. But the Gemara interjects and says, Lamai nafkamina. Why would that be their second question? If you're saying the halacha is like Beis Hillel, which in actuality that's what it is, and that's what they were assuming regarding the first question, so why would they ask, oh, and then what would be the ramification regarding Beis Shammai if the halacha doesn't fall like them anyway? So the Gemara says, "Lemifshit vlad machzik rishasi leBeis Hillel." That's because that same, it's just the context was Beis Shammai Hillel, that's why they asked regarding Beis Shammai. But actually there is a halachic ramifications, even la halacha regarding Beis Hillel, regarding a case of a child of a woman that was divorced, married to someone else, and then returned. And that is, once she had married someone else and then he remarried her, which is a negative prohibition of machzik rishasi, you're not allowed to remarry the wife that was divorced and had married someone else in an interim and then remarry her. Now, but he violated and he did remarry her and he had a daughter from that union. So the question is, according to Beis Hillel, what is the status of that daughter, of that girl, regarding marrying into kahuna? And that is, that's the same element that we're having in the question regarding Beis Shammai, regarding the B'nai Tzaras that follow Beis Hillel's opinion, we would know the same thing regarding the daughter of a Machzik Rishasa, because they share the same halachic question, that what is the halacha of a union of Chiv Olavim? When there's no Mises Bezdin, when there's no Karis. It's just a negative prohibition of this union, which that's the halacha, according to Bishamai, of a Tsaris Erva that marries a Tsar without having Chalitza first, which is just a negative prohibition. We asked it in that context, but it really is because there is halachic ramifications of, even according to Basil, when a man divorces his wife, she marries someone else, and then he remarries her, and he has a daughter from her, that's, that new union of his old wife is Isser Lav of Machzik Rishasai, will the daughter be considered pogum for Kahuna or not? As the Gemara explains, what's the question? Mikam Rinan Kavochemer, do we say a Kavochemer? And this is what we had quoted before when we said Mechulu. Umam on the Kohen Gadol. If we find by a widow to a Kohen Gadol, the high priest, that's what the Kavochemer is. This is the Kal, the lenient thing. And still it has astringency. So somebody that's Chamer, for sure should have the astringency. Because a widow that marries a Kohen Gadol, She'eni Sur Shav Bakal, her prohibition of marrying a widow is not for all of Klal Yisrael. It's just for a Kohen Gadol. The high priest cannot marry a widow. And yet still that union creates that Bina Pogum. Her child is considered Pogum Achalala regarding Kohuna. So Zushi Sur Shava Bakal. So regarding this, a Machzik Rishasai, who her prohibition is to any man, cannot remarry his wife after she was divorced and married to someone else. So Ein Adin Shabina Pogum, isn't there a Kal Vachomer, this more stringent case, because its application is more pervasive than the case of a Malka and Gadol, for sure the child should be considered Pogum for Kahuna. Maybe the Gemara says that no, maybe not. Maybe, like the case of Tsaris Erva for Bishamai when you follow Bisil, or the Machzik Rishasai according to Bisil, maybe you could ask and say that you cannot, it's not comparable to the Almana. Because Mal Almana, she atzmem schalelis. The case of Almana is different. Maybe there her child becomes a chalel because she herself becomes deficient for Kahuna. And that is, if the Kohen Gadol passes away, then she becomes invalid for even a Kohen Hedjit. Or, for example, if let's say she was a daughter of a Kohen, she becomes, when she has this union with the Kohen Gadol, she becomes invalid from Truma, because that relationship that she had with the Kohen Gadol made her a Chalala with that union, with being intimate with him. As Rashi brings a pasuk of Leichal Zar Ba'amav, which he learns Amav is a reference to Ishtai, and that is, that there it's different, because there it's unique. The Almana can marry a Kohen Hedjit. Only a Grusha cannot marry a Kohen Hedjit. But once she marries a Kohen Gadol, and then he dies, which now she's just Almana again, she was never divorced, she cannot marry a Kohen Hedjit anymore, because she became a Chalala with that union. So not only does the child become a Chalala, but the mother herself, the woman that created that child, she also becomes a Chalala. Now, who said you can then compare and extrapolate that to a Machzik Rishasai, who does not become a Chalala with this union of her previous husband? Because if it's regarding marrying a Kohen, nothing made her into a Chalala now, because from the first time she was divorced from her husband, she already was invalid for Kahana. And if regarding Truma from a father's household, she actually does not become Pasul. As the Gemara says later on in the Perek HaMalach Kohen Gadol, that a woman does not become invalidated with a union of a Chiv Olav, with a negative prohibition, only if it's someone that was always forbidden to her, which excludes the case of Machzik Rishasai, which we explained according to Bisil, or the Yivam Lashok, which we explained according to Bishamai, because they were never originally forbidden to these people. Her first husband, she was permitted to, and this foreign person off the street, she's permitted to. It's just that the union is a negative prohibition. Hence, that intimacy with that man would not create her into a halal. Now, Rashi clarifies one point, that although before, when we spoke about chiv akrisis that applied to the children of the tsaris of Beis Shammai, where the Gemara did not ask, when they compared to Talmud and Kohen Gadol, did not say, wait a second, how did you compare Talmud and Kohen Gadol where she herself becomes a Chalala? Is because actually there also, once she's intimate to a chiv akrisis, which is what happens if you follow the halach of Beis Shammai, of doing yibin to the tsaris erva, because chiv akrisis does make the woman into a zayna. When she becomes a zayna, then the truma from her father's household, she becomes invalid too, as the Gemara explains the Perek HaMalach Kohen Gadol, and also she becomes invalid of marrying a Kohen, as the Mishnah explained in Daf Yud Gimel Mabez, where if there is yibum done, if you follow Bisham's opinion, Bisil hold that Paislam, then you do become pasul to Kahuna, and that's why there the Gemara didn't ask, oh, how could you compare it to HaMalach Kohen Gadol? that she becomes a chalal over there. That's because actually, as the Gemara previously had said, that if you're going to follow Bishama's opinion, you actually do become a chalal. You also become on some level invalid for kuhnim because you become a zayna by having relationships with somebody that's a chiv, a krisis, that's a punishment of karas for. Now, be that as it may, that was the discussion that was the reason why they asked him regarding that if, according to Bishama, if you follow Basil by the Tzara's Erva, what would their status be regarding those children being Pogam the Kohuna? Is because there's an application regarding Basil's opinion of Machzigur Shasai. Because the question was, if you have a union of a negative prohibition of, which is remarrying your wife after she was already remarried to someone else, that child, that daughter, is she going to be a Chalala, Pogam to Kohuna or not? Which the question, as the Gemara explained, was, do we compare it to Amalek and Gadol, where that's just a negative prohibition and the child is a halala, even though there it's kal in the sense of that it's only limited it to a kohen gadol itself, all the more so for Machzik Rishasa, which applies to all of Klal Yisrael. What are we saying then? That no, because there the Aman herself becomes halala. She now becomes deficient regarding the halachas of kahuna. She can't have truma anymore, she can't marry a kohen hedid, in contrast to the Machzik Rishasa, who does not become pasul to kahuna, based on, and well, she definitely cannot marry a kohen anyway because she's a grusha, but she wouldn't become invalid from truma, and maybe there we wouldn't say the child would also become a chalal. So v'amalahu, and on that is what Yeshua responded to them regarding these two questions. So he said, regarding your first question of tzaris, what's the halacha of tzaris erva? He said, misyarene. I'm afraid to say who the halacha follows like, and that's because if I'm going to do that, I'm going to be making the children of the tzaris of Beis Shammai, who they, as we said, we proved from here that Beis Shammai was also, they followed their own opinion, I'm going to make them into the children of Chiv HaKrisis, and as we said before, that's going to make the children Pogam to Kohuna. So I don't want to answer regarding that. However, you continue on to Amid Be, on with top of Tezayin and Aleph, but regarding your second question of Bnei Tzaris, meaning if one does follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, and then, which means to say that then this Yavama just goes Lashuk, she just marries someone else without having Yibam and Chalitza first, which your question was, is that according to Beis Shammai, which since there's a violation of Yavama Lashuk, a negative prohibition, the question that you want to know is according to Beis Shammai, would the daughter be Pogam to Kahuna or not? On that I made Lachem, on that I could say testimony that they were Kahanim Gedailim, and that is obviously even Beis Shammai held that they're Kasher for Kahuna Gedaila, which therefore you see that Beis Shammai would hold that they're not pogam to kahuna, and that is, it's not comparable to Aman L'Kayin Gadol, and that is, here the Machzik Rishasli, or the Yavam L'Shuk, that herself does not become a Chalala, and therefore the children are not pogam to kahuna. Now the Gemara concludes, Tashima, come in here, again regarding this question about Asu, or Loy Asu, Rabbi Meir Abdesim in Hyrkines, Hutrut Tsaras Habas La'achim. They permitted the tzara of the erva for the brothers. And that is, the brother of Reb Deisa was from the students of Beis Shammai. And he permitted it, as the Gemara teaches on later. And based on that psak, they followed that, and that's how they accustomed themselves, that they did yibam to the tzara's erva. So shma mina also shma mina. From there again, you could infer another raya, which the Gemara has a few rayas already to prove, that the students of Beis Shammai followed that, and therefore, Reb Deisa ben Hyrkines' brother went and followed the halacha of doing yibum to the tzara of his bas, because they held like Beis Shammai, that tzara's habas, tzara's erva, is permitted in yibum and chalitza.